May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to turn to the gospel today in your bulletins. Welcome to all of those who are here this morning and those who are joining us by live stream today. Today's gospel is not a sentimental story about Jesus and a child sitting in his lap. Jesus wants to make a very clear point, and that is that special attention is given to the vulnerable. First in the reading, there is the reference to the radical spiritual calling of Jesus as Messiah. We need to understand so that we can be servants of all and receive a young child in our Lord's name. For as Harry Adams writes, servant leadership, therefore, is the necessity outcome of confessing that Jesus is the Messiah. What does that mean for us? More importantly, what did it mean for him? Harry Adams writes, everything that we are called to do and to be is based on humility and service. That was Jesus' example. Now, one really obvious question that comes out of the gospel today is, how does this congregation deal with its children? Furthermore, if we're to give the analogy of children as used in the gospel, how does this congregation treat the vulnerable or those in different social statuses or marginalized, the poor or other races? And is there room for growth in this ministry? Now, it helps to set the context of today's gospel by saying there are two profound theological issues that jump off the page. One is about inclusion and one is exclusion. In verses 30-32, as you glance at the gospel in your bulletin, you notice that the disciples are excluded from the rest of the crowd. They are taken aside. In 33 through 37, there's an inclusion of children, a child in particular, in the midst of the disciples. Let's unpack that together. Oh, before I go further, let's not forget Jesus' discussion about the life, death, and resurrection, and his insistence that his disciples try to understand what he's saying. Understanding the death and resurrection may require some further instruction or at least some information. Some writers say that there was and is a profound gap between human knowledge and divine revelation. Martha Moore Kish writes, humans have a hard time understanding the ways of God because we are not God. Human limits of knowledge and wisdom in this case simply make it impossible for the disciples to comprehend what God is doing in Christ. I think it's helpful to know that there is a discontinuity between Israel's expectation of a Messiah and Jesus' actions and attitudes about being the Messiah. The disciples have inherited an understanding or a teaching of who the anointed and appointed one would be. This understanding or awareness did not include suffering or death. That was a complete shock to them. Jesus' ministry would be profoundly different than they expected. So here's the question. Was and is God doing something profoundly different through Christ? Now, the disciples are having this really intense conversation between one location and another, and the question is, who is greatest among them? What are they discussing? And why are they discussing it in that moment? What's the point? Jesus is desperately trying to explain the life, death, and resurrection, and his disciples get distracted. Herbert O'Driscoll writes, Jesus realized very well that it is human nature to find something irrelevant to be of intense interest when we do not wish to deal with something immediate and essential. Is it possible that we all have those moments? I know I do. And I confess and ask for forgiveness. We could all well be embarrassed by our private thoughts. They're not in alignment with God. Too many hours are consumed with the concern about personal advancement, honor, and reputation, and getting appreciation. Yes, there is so much pain. Yes, I said pain. When we realize that we are guilty of these thoughts and actions, and it's time to return to the foot of the cross and plead for mercy. You see, Jesus is speaking in terms of kingdom bound. If anyone wants to be first, they must be last, and last of all the servants. That means the least of the least of the least. Herbert O'Driscoll says, all Jesus' images of the kingdom are full of paradoxes. The paradox here is that true wisdom about life is to realize that authority and responsibility are to be seen in terms of servanthood. Then the child arrives. Whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. What's the role of the child? Is it that they are helpless, dependent? Or is the role of the child in this gospel that Jesus knows full well that according to almost everyone that surrounds him in the moment, believe that children are irrelevant, don't matter? A matter of fact, they were considered the possessions, and I quote, of their father, end of quote. So Jesus picks up this tiny, innocent child and places the child on his lap and says, when you welcome one of these, you welcome me as well, which infers, of course, that the child is also a substitute for Christ in that moment. It's rather remarkable that Jesus has this profound insight that surely made everyone else uncomfortable. That God would send a child to redeem the world. That the meaning and the purpose of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus was that God the Father sent his only Son to deliver a message of love and hope, forgiveness, peace, and joy, reconciliation, and clemency. And then in the midst of the delivery of that message, it profoundly disturbed the status quo. And the decision was made to disturb the status quo means you gotta go. Can one imagine Jesus' full and complete comprehension in that moment, that he fully knew what he was doing as he placed that child on his lap and gently and lovingly but somewhat sternly reminded them that this child was the symbol of the kingdom and that to receive children of his time was to elevate them to the place that God had ordained them to be. And that is equal with all, in all circumstances. But even more, Jesus is saying that the child represents every person everywhere. That everyone of all cultures, all traditions, all customs, all races must be received and welcomed, accepted and embraced as equals. For truly every single one of us is welcome, wanted, loved, and accepted. In Christ's view and in the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.